Before we begin, if you like what you hear on Mile High Report Radio Podcast, don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and go ahead and click subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
Well, Ian, it's finally here. It's draft week. And I have to say, it must be nice to be a Jacksonville Jaguars fan and not have been sitting through the last few months with this question about, well, what are we going to do? Dude, it was Trevor Lawrence like 2 years ago. You knew what you were going to do. So fantastic if you're from Jacksonville and you're a very happy person. But for the rest of us, especially here in Broncos country, this has been, it's been Twitter war, right? I mean, people have lost friends. There have been arguments left and right. Draft Twitter is toxic if you are in Broncos country because of the quarterback situation. So it's nice to know that we're only a couple of days away from finally hearing a name called, and we can argue about whether or not it was the right move afterwards.
Rick Spielman said it best in a news conference that he did for Minneapolis and St. Paul media on Tuesday, where he said, I just want to know what the hell George Payton is going to do. That's all of Broncos country at this point. We just want to know what the hell George Payton is going to do. And we could actually throw Jets fans into that because they're obviously taking Zach Wilson from BYU since they traded Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers. So it really is getting fairly toxic the last couple weeks. It's really amped up. It feels like Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch all over again. I haven't delved into it, and I'm not going to because it's not worth it. So it has been a long draft season.
That's a good way to put it, a long draft season. Too long. You know, it is interesting. I also have not gotten into any Twitter arguments per se, but I've certainly been an observer, right? One of the people on Twitter who has, what are we called? Watchers, people who don't actually interact, but maybe you like a tweet here and there, but you don't say anything.
I think it's actually the proper term is creep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've creeped on some conversations. I will say this. I've also typed out hundreds of tweets that have then been just deleted and discarded because I just didn't want to get into the Twitter wars, and it's not worth it. It's just too much work. It's too much work. I don't understand how guys like Joe Rolls, he will dive into those Twitter wars. He'll start some every now and then just with a very subtle tweet. And then it turns into like, wait, what was that? 90% of the time, I don't think he even knew something was going to happen. And he's in a battle over whatever it is that he didn't think was important that he said. I am terrified of throwaway tweets that will turn into just threads worth of like 3 days of, I can't believe you said this, arguments. Like, I get me out of draft Twitter. Get me out of it.
The most controversial tweet that I have tweeted recently is saying that I saw the Chris Weidman injury. Like, that's as far as I will go.
Oh my gosh. Can we talk about that for just a second? You know me. I am one of the people, because you contacted me the second it happened, I think. I like to watch those things because the human body is fascinating to me. Like when you see a guy's leg snap like that, it just blows me away that that can happen. And then we can fix that. Like that to me is impressive. And even I, after watching that once, was like, nope, I don't need that anymore in my life. And I could watch the Joe Theismann sack over and over again. Victor Oladipo Paul George, his injury, terrible injury. It doesn't bother me to watch that. I feel bad for the guy that it happens to, but that kick, that was unnatural in so many ways. He turned into rubber in like an instant.
And I asked you, is it possible to snap your leg twice? Because he snapped his leg twice. If you haven't seen it, Don't see it.
It
was a Chris Weidman fight on Saturday in UFC 261 against Uriah Hall. And oh my goodness.
Weidman went
for a kick and snapped his leg, and then it went to the canvas of the octagon and it snapped again.
Well, even the description made me see it again, and I didn't. It wasn't necessary.
But how that leg injury happened, that's basically like draft Broncos Twitter right now.
Yeah, you take a swing thinking you're gonna destroy all. The next thing you know, you're wondering why your leg is behind your ear. Like, it's difficult. It's not fun.
You turn into Gumby.
You turn into Gumby. That's right. For all you kids out there that don't know what Gumby is, look it up. Google. Google's your friend on this one. You can Google it. Okay, so we're here. We're in draft Twitter. We have arrived. We've arrived on draft week, and I guess we have you and I have been going back and forth. We've talked several times. We had, like you said, we had Trevor Sikkema on last week. We had Cecil Lammy on a few weeks ago. We've been talking about the draft now for a while, but we haven't really made our predictions, and I avoid predictions. You know me, I'll do like game predictions and stuff because that's what we're supposed to do, and I'm fine with that. But these kinds of things make me nervous. But I wrote out who I think is going in the top 10 and where I think they're going. And the first two were like the easiest thing I've ever done. But I actually wrote it down because seriously, I can write Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson pretty quickly. They're not difficult names to spell. Although, is Zach Wilson, is it Z-A-C-H or Z-A-C-K? Which Zach is he?
I believe it's Z-A-C-K.
Okay, well, that's fine. I just wrote Wilson because it was easier. Just simplify your life. That's all you got to do. But I thought it would be fun to actually do our predictions. And I know you didn't write yours down. We did have a little pre-show fist fight where we discussed that. And it was interesting as we went through and you sort of mentioned some of the things that you thought would happen without making any real predictions. And I have them on my little blue pad. I'm just going to hold it up here so you can see it. If you want to pause it and read it, you can.
It's actually H, by the way.
Oh, there you go. Zach Wilson, which is fine. However you want to spell. I don't care. Because it's Zachary. With a Z, with a C-H, right? Isn't Zachary with a C-H? I don't know. Who cares? Anyway, those were the two easy ones, right? We all knew. Yep. And then the question comes down to, well, what is Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, what are they going to do at pick number 3? And you've been pretty adamant about what you think on this. And so I guess what we'll do is let's just go pick by pick. And you've been on the Mac Jones train the whole time for them. And I suppose I've finally come around, and that's what I wrote down. I wrote down Mac Jones. So McCorkle Jones, who does that to their child, to the San Francisco.
Well, he didn't go to Alabama.
As soon as I said, I was like, well, he did spend some time in Tuscaloosa. So yeah, no, but McCorkle also very San Francisco name, right? McCorkle. Would you name your kid McCorkle? All right. Works for me. So Mac Jones to San Francisco. We agree on that.
Correct.
Like 95% sure.
I'm actually like 99.9%.
I just can't get there. I'm trying. You know me, I get worried about that stuff.
And I think that's where most people get into trouble with the draft, is they do what they think they would do. And you would go Justin Fields.
Oh, absolutely. I would go Justin Fields right there. And it would take me negative seconds to get my card in. I would just go submit it now. I'd be like, look, Roger, we all know what's going to happen. Here is our card. I don't care what anybody else has said. And they might not accept it, but I'd have it written out. It makes no sense to me not to. But I'm not, you know what? I'm not a professional head coach in the NFL. I'm not a GM. I'm just a guy. And you know, I've come to grips with that, but I don't get where this is all coming from. So whatever I would do doesn't really matter. Right. Number 4, that's Atlanta. The Falcons are on the clock. And I think we're both pretty set on this one as well. And I would not do this. This is not what I would do if I was Atlanta, but it's Pitts, right? It's Kyle Pitts from Florida.
Yep. Kyle Pitts, tight end for Alabama. Or Alabama, from Florida.
So I messed you up.
Going
sorry.
To go to Atlanta. I got a little tongue tied.
It's too many Southern states.
And that's another one that I've been on for months.
Since day one.
You look at the way Arthur Blank views his team, and he's the owner of the Falcons. the way they redid Matt Ryan's contract, he clearly thinks he has the team, the players, the roster to win now, to win in that division in the NFC South, to win in the NFC. So you add a piece like Kyle Pitts to that offense with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, Arthur Blank thinks that they can win now.
He might not be wrong either, and I definitely understand that, which is why I put Pitts' name down on my list as well. But if we're going back to what would I do, because I do think that's a big part of why people do this. This is what I would do if I was the GM. I would waste no time in getting Trey Lance's name in and having him waiting in the wings for when Matt Ryan eventually leaves Atlanta, because Matt Ryan is not Tom Brady. I don't believe he has his own, you know, health system like TB12 that is essentially, you know, stealing the souls of people from around the world that nobody knows about and just stealing their life force. I think that's what Tom Brady's doing. And I don't think Matt Ryan is doing that. So Father Time's going to catch up to him soon. Having Trey Lance sitting behind him waiting for 1 or 2 years, even halfway through a third season, I don't know how you pass up on that opportunity, knowing that your QB of the future is sitting there just learning from a guy who, let's face it, Matt Ryan, while you may not like him as a quarterback, has been successful in the NFL and can be a good role model for a young quarterback like Trey Lance. Yes, you want to draft a guy with your first pick, especially in the top five, that's going to get snaps right away. Like, I get that. How do you pass on QB of the future? This is two quarterbacks. I don't understand how you pass on them, but that's what we have the 49ers and the Atlanta Falcons doing right now.
In terms of the Falcons, I think it's because the immediacy of it. An owner doesn't want to look into the future. They want to look at the here and now. And you add a piece like Kyle Pitts to that offense, it's not only going to give what he thinks the Falcons the best chance to win, but it's going to put fans in the seats. They're going to want to see the Falcons. It's going to get them on prime time. It's going to get more money into his coffers, which is where I think that pick is coming from.
Coffers. That's a good word. I like that. Nice work. I appreciated the use of the word coffers there. Just want to make note of that. I enjoyed it. I'm a word guy, so that worked out for me. All right, moving on to number five then. So we get to Cincinnati at number five. This is a spot where some people think there's a trade possibility here. There's some people who believe that the key here is to protect Joe Burrow. He's your quarterback. He's the future. You got to find somebody who can do that. The other thought here is you go and you get a guy who can sort of complement the offense. They've got T. Higgins at wide receiver. Maybe you want another weapon there, giving Joe Burrow options all over the field. So you're looking at, you know, guys like Penei Sewell to protect, Ja'Marr Chase to throw the ball to. It's a tough decision. Again, if I think this is a case where I am going to tell you what I think they should do, but I also think it is what they will do, and that's protect their future, and you protect your future by going and getting Penei Sewell and bringing him in to protect Joe Burrow. And so that's what I think Cincinnati does at five.
What's interesting about this is that I think the first four picks are pretty much set. There are a lot of prop bets. The listeners to this know that I do sports betting and gaming for playcolorado.com. I was looking at the prop bet market, and I did a story for playcolorado.com on six fun and wacky prop bets for the draft. Well, there's one that I didn't include, and that is the top five picks in exact order. And obviously, the favorite right now is Ja'Marr Chase. That seems to be where most people think the Bengals are going, because they're the Bengals. It makes more sense to protect your quarterback who just had a serious leg injury. It doesn't do any good to have a weapon like Ja'Marr Chase if you can't protect your quarterback. So I'm wondering if their initial thoughts are, we need to get weapons, but maybe it's more important that we protect our former first round pick in Joe Burrow. So that's where it's interesting. I think it's between those two, Ja'Marr Chase, Penei Sewell. Do they view the protection of their quarterback more important than a weapon?
I don't know how you can value a wide receiver over protecting your quarterback. To me, left tackle is the other position, right? When you talk about positions in the draft, quarterback, left tackle. That's the order. Wide receiver is actually pretty far down the list. You can find wide receivers all over the draft. You can find guys in the third round. I mean, Courtland Sutton was a second round pick. He's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL when he's healthy. So to me, I look at that and I go, why waste a draft pick on a guy who I can get somebody that's similar enough? And I've already got T. Higgins. I just don't see not protecting your quarterback. He's the future of the franchise. You got to keep him upright. That's just the way you have to do it. That doesn't mean that's what they're going to do, although that is what I'm predicting them to do, because this is the one where I think I might be right on that. They'll think Jamar Chase for like a solid 3 or 4 minutes, and then they'll write down Penei Sewell, and they'll turn in their card. That's what they have to do.
I think they're going to be the Bengals. I think they're going to be the Bengals and take Chase.
Bengals going to bangle. I get it. I do understand that. All right, number six is where it gets interesting. Before we started recording, like I said, we were going back and forth talking about what we thought was going to happen. And you said,
this is the sweet spot. I said it on the Irish NFL show. I've said it before. I'll say it here. My prediction is this is the sweet spot for George Payton to make the trade up to number six and get his quarterback, which is Justin Fields from the Ohio State University.
Which I wrote down before we even recorded. I wrote it down. This was at like 3:30 in the afternoon. I wrote it down. So that's what we have. That's what's going to happen. That's the prediction, because you cannot pass on talent like that at number six. The only other option here, I think, because we haven't seen him come off the board and maybe George Payton likes him better, is Trey Lance. So I could see the Broncos going either way here, but I do think they're going to have to trade up to ensure that they get one of those two quarterbacks. I think that a trade up is going to be necessary because of what's behind them, which is why I think George Payton does it. That's why I think he trades up, because you don't have another option there. You have to ensure that you get your guy. Sitting back and waiting, yes, you're going to get a good player. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that there are several good players in the top 15 that you could wait for and get, and that's fine, but they're not going to change your franchise like a quarterback is going to change them. And I actually tweeted out today, and this is a good spot to maybe bring it up. I tweeted out a list of quarterbacks that the Broncos have taken in the first round of the draft. And it is not necessarily a who's who of greatness, if you will. The first time in the Broncos history that they took a quarterback in the first round was with the 25th pick in the 92 draft, Tommy Maddox. So not a good start.
The guy, for the long-term fans, the season fans, they'll know that Dan Reeves drafted Tommy Maddox as a way to replace John Elway. That was the ultimate goal of Dan Reeves with that pick.
It didn't work, by the way. I think Tommy Maddox's best years were with Pittsburgh. A few years later, was it 97, 98? Is that when it was? Or it was back in the slash days, right? When right before Ben Roethlisberger, right after Cordell Stewart kind of thing. So yeah, not great.
I'm not the Tommy Maddox expert though.
I'm just trying to piece it all together up here, you know. The next first round draft pick for the Denver Broncos at quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, and I'd like to think that I'm not, is Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler was the next one, and he was the 11th pick in that draft in 2006. He's the closest thing that we have as Bronco fans to a top pick at quarterback, because the Broncos, let's face it, have been fairly successful since John Elway arrived in Denver, right? So you have 30 years of success. You're not going to have a lot of opportunities at a top 10 QB. So they didn't use their draft picks for that. I get it. So Jay Cutler is the next guy on that list. And we all know what happened with Jay Cutler. He ends up getting, I want to say, run out of town.
He got McDaniels.
That's a good one. He got McHoodied out a little bit. And then after that, it was Tebow. Right? Tebow is the pick at 20. Was it 25 that year?
Another
McDaniels special. And nobody's denying the one or two seasons of wow with Tim Tebow. You can have that if you want. That's fine. But it certainly didn't change the franchise, other than it sort of ushered in the Peyton Manning era. And then the last time the Broncos picked a quarterback in the first round was Paxton Lynch. So what do we learn about that? What we should learn is that if you're picking a quarterback deep in the first round, like in the 20s and 30s and into the second round, Drew Lock, you're probably not picking a guy that's going to change your franchise. It's just not going to happen very. There's not a lot of Tom Brady's out there. Okay. Put that away. The Broncos have an opportunity to trade up and pick a guy who is a top 10, legit top 10 pick, who some would tell you is one of the top two or three quarterbacks in this draft. That's right. Raise your hand. Me too. That you have to do it. And so again, I am kind of getting into that. This is what I would do if, but also I think this is what they're going to do. George Payton has a chance to swing for the fences here and solidify himself as the GM of this franchise. And I think that's what he's going to do.
Well, and the reason is that the sweet spot with Miami is because it's not that far of a jump. So you're not going to have to give up that much. You're not going to have to give up a future first round pick to move up three spots, maybe a third round pick on top of your first round pick. That's what you give up. That's about what I think the trade would come to. So that's why I think it's going to happen. And on top of that, you mentioned the teams behind Denver. There is no way in hell the Miami Dolphins are going to make a trade with the New England Patriots. It will not happen, but it could happen with the Detroit Lions. It could happen with the Carolina Panthers. So that's where I think if Justin Fields and Trey Lance are there, either one, both, George Payton is making that trade with the Miami Dolphins.
Absolutely. And you know, the other thing, and I will tell you again, I'm living out here in Chicagoland, right? I'm out in the Midwest. There are a lot of people in this area that believe that the Bears are going to make a trade and move up to get one of those two quarterbacks as well. They believe that the Bears are going to do something drastic to come up and get Trey Lance. That seems to be the target that a lot of fans and a lot of media members out here in the Chicagoland area believe that the Bears are going to go after. Because again, you have a player in Trey Lance that has a very high ceiling, but you're not really sure what you're getting because you only have a limited number of games at let's face it, an FCS school, right? It's essentially Division II for us old school people who don't like change. So, you know, is he Steve McNair? I don't know. Maybe he is. You know, when you start to mention guys that come from smaller schools, Steve McNair is, I think, maybe the most successful of those quarterbacks from what were used to be D2 schools that are now FCS schools. You're going to go with, or is he Carson Wentz, who's going to, I don't know, fall apart? Who knows what's going to happen with Carson Wentz in Indianapolis? So there's risk involved there. But you've got the red rifle and Andy Dalton as QB1. So you know you're set for at least week one and you don't have to worry about Trey Lance. So that's another one where I think, kind of like Atlanta, Trey Lance would make sense, but they would have to make a pretty big jump. I believe that, what are they, 20? They picked 20 this year. So that's a huge jump. I don't see Miami wanting to fall that far back. I don't see Detroit or Carolina wanting to fall that far back. I don't see Detroit wanting to trade with Chicago. That's a tough move for the Bears. They might get up to number 10. I don't know that I see that happening, but you're right. The Broncos have a chance here. That I love your term sweet spot for that too, because it is, that's the sweet spot. That's where they got to go.
And in terms of the Bears, people have to remember their general manager is still Ryan Pace. Bears fans thought there was a chance to get Russell Wilson and they ended up with Andy Dalton.
You know how much I love bringing up Ryan Pace. I just got to mention the Bears and the steam that starts to come off your forehead because of the thought of Ryan Pace not drafting Patrick Mahomes. It's funny. It's enjoyable. It's quite funny.
Well, and people can see it now because we're doing this on video.
Yeah, we're actually recording.
The thing is, it's not just that he didn't take Patrick Mahomes. It's that he traded up one effing spot to take Mitch Trubisky.
Who I think had
a job. Like, he legitimately still has a job. They could have had the best quarterback in the history of the Chicago Bears. Legitimately, Patrick Mahomes would have been the best quarterback in the history of that franchise. And that idiot drafted up one spot for Mitch Trubisky.
I would say it was not the Bob Ross of draft picks. Is that a fair thing to see? That was a fun callback. I like that. All right, let's move on to pick 7. I know you didn't do anything from 6 on because who cares after the Broncos pick in the first round?
Broncos just picked a quarterback.
Totally understand that.
Their quarterback.
I figure let's round it out. I actually have Detroit taking Ja'Marr Chase. why not? I suppose in your scenario, if the Bengals bangle it up and they take Ja'Marr Chase, Penei Sewell's there, I think Detroit takes him at that point. That's kind of one of those, if this guy's here, we'll take that guy. And that's what's going to happen with this draft. It happens every year, but this one seems more like if it's not this guy because somebody else has him, then it's this guy, and it's totally fine with us. So that's interesting there at number 7 with Detroit. So either way, right? I've got Ja'Marr Chase because I just don't see how you pass on Penei Sewell if you're the Bengals. But maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe they go defense. Who knows?
And I think they do go defense because I think the one team that would take Micah Parsons is a team coached by the dude Dan Campbell.
That's legitimate. That is legitimate. I can see him. It's very South Parkish as well, but I can see him making that pick.
For those who don't know, like legitimately, every time I see Dan Campbell, I think of the PC bro principal from South Park. That's just legitimately who I see in my mind.
He's great. I think that's his role. I think that's what he should be. He should own it. Right. I imagine he probably does own it and he's proud of it, and good for him. That's great. Carolina. I actually have Carolina taking Micah Parsons. I think at this point, when you get to 8, the talent level that Micah Parsons have, people will look at the discretions, and there is some serious stuff going on with Micah Parsons, and talent in the NFL, unfortunately, will trump a lot of that. And I think at this point, Carolina is looking to replace some losses on defense, trying to shore up the defense. You just brought in Sam Darnold. You know you've got some weapons. You know you need to get a defense that can get the ball back, and you need somebody who can impact that defense. I could have gone Patrick Surtain here. I kind of think they're going to go Parsons because that's a position, inside linebacker, that really does have a lot of control over the defense, and you want a guy who can do a lot of the things that he can do. And so I think it fits there for him. I think Micah Parsons fits in Denver as well. I just don't think Denver is in the market for a Micah Parsons type player right now.
I think the Panthers are going to go Ja'Marr Chase. And I think that, and I think the other possibility that they do is get a tackle to protect Sam Darnold. So if Penei Sewell is there, maybe Rashawn Slater could be the pick.
Slater would be my pick probably there. Yeah.
It could also be Patrick Surtain. So I think it'll be one of those three picks. I have no idea because I don't care. The Broncos got their quarterback at number 6.
I will say this, and we will do a post first round instant reactions draft podcast recording. We will. And I think we'll record it. And I guarantee if the Broncos pick like we want them to, the smiles will be too big for the screen. It might be just a podcast of cheering and crying, and that's it. I don't know, but it will be a lot of, I don't care what happened the rest of the way because the Broncos did what the Broncos needed to do. But in the meantime, what does Miami do with Denver's pick at 9? This might be an interesting one as well.
I think they go, I want to say they get a weapon for Tua Tagovailoa. So I would say probably a receiver. Whoever it is, maybe they go cornerback. Maybe Patrick Surtain hasn't been taken yet. So maybe Flores goes with one of the top cornerbacks in the draft. I really don't know. Maybe they go tackle.
Ooh, the tackle bros would like that. I actually have them taking either Devontae Harris or what's the Waddle kid's first name? I can't think of it, and I didn't look it up. But they actually probably go Waddle from Alabama. There's two Alabama receivers out there. One of them is a Heisman Trophy winner. The other one seems to be the flavor of the month, if you will. I think they'll pick one of those two. At first, I wrote down Harris for Devontae Harris, and then I wrote down Waddle, and I was kind of back and forth. I think I penned in Waddle, so we'll go with – is it TJ Waddle? Am I saying that right? It doesn't matter. They just have to get a weapon for Tagovailoa. That's the key right there.
And it's the Alabama connection too. So
exactly. And then you have Dallas at 10. We've talked about Dallas as a trade spot, but I think Dallas takes Patrick Surtain. I think Patrick Surtain goes to Dallas. They need defense. They have to do something there. I could see them if Micah Parsons was there, I could see them taking Micah Parsons. That wouldn't surprise me, but I don't think he will be. I think Patrick Surtain is the next best defensive player, and that's who Dallas takes. And then from that point, I, we only went top 10 because I don't have time for this.
I didn't have time after the top six.
You're just, I wonder if maybe you decided that the Broncos traded up to six so you could just stop and you didn't have to worry about the rest of it.
That's
you stop
exactly
at six.
What I did.
Yeah, smart. I like that. I like that a lot.
And because I've made this joke before, I want to stay married, so I can't watch college football.
Yeah, it is. It is hard to get college football in when you have a wife that would like you to give her one day a weekend, so she can have your Saturdays, but you get your Sundays. I totally get that. All right, there is a scenario here that we have to talk about, and I don't want to talk about it at all, but I think we have to bring it up. Is there a way? Well, let's just say it this way. Why does it have to be quarterback for the Denver Broncos? I guess I'd like your thoughts on that. I have some thoughts on that as well, but we might as well just talk about that. Why does it have to be quarterback for the Broncos in the first round?
Because the Broncos are a quarterback away. They have the roster to compete right now. We did our podcast with Trevor Sikkema. The first question we asked him, the first question I asked him, he laid out that the Broncos have a strong roster. He basically went through every position group. He said maybe middle linebacker, but you have Alexander Johnson and Josie Jewell. Maybe right tackle, but you have Juwan James. And we've touched on this for multiple episodes of this podcast. You're hoping that he can come back and be the tackle that John Elway and the Broncos hope and expect him to be, especially since he's coming off a year in which he opted out. That leaves quarterback. The Broncos are a quarterback away. They've been a quarterback away. Broncos went 9-7 with Trevor frickin' Siemian the year after they won the Super Bowl.
Try not to say his name too much, but yeah, I'm with you.
They have a better quarterback. They win more games. They have a better quarterback. They win more games last year. They are a quarterback away. And especially with the way George Payton went through free agency and made his defense better, bringing back Von Miller, Shelby Harris, Justin Simmons, bringing in Ronald Darby and Kyle Fuller. The Broncos have a defense that can compete right now. They laid the blueprint to shut down the Kansas City Chiefs. They got a little bit lucky. Tyreek Hill dropped a touchdown. But Vic Fangio has shown that he can shut down the top offenses in the National Football League. Now he needs a quarterback. It's because they're a quarterback away. That's why they have to get a quarterback. And Drew Lock is not the quarterback to do it. He's not going to have a Josh Allen-esque leap. It's not going to happen. So that needs to stop. This talk about Drew Lock being Josh Allen needs to stop. He's not on the same planet as Josh Allen. They're not even comparable quarterbacks. So that's why it has to be a quarterback. And hopefully George Payton sees that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring up Josh Allen, and I'm gonna echo a couple of things, and I'm gonna add a little bit to it. I was one of those people that was sucked into the he could be Josh Allen, he could make that type of improvement, let's compare their stats kind of thing. And I think a lot of people are still grasping on to that. The big difference between Drew Lock and Josh Allen is that Drew Lock was passed on by every single football team in the NFL at least once, and a couple of teams twice. And I would say many of those teams also needed a quarterback, and Drew Lock wasn't the guy that they thought was going to be able to do it. He had an opportunity to show what he could do, and he showed flashes. And I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to reference Colin Cowherd here, and I don't like it. And so it's not going to be comfortable for me, but he made an analogy that went around Twitter and on his show that I think really does describe Drew Lock. Drew Lock is a movie trailer. Movie trailers are always good, right? And if you just watch the trailer of Drew Lock, he's amazing, but he's a comedy trailer, according to Colin Cowherd. And I kind of get that. All comedy movie trailers are hilarious, but then when you get to the movie, they're not always great. Drew Lock is that. If you watch Drew Lock highlights, you go, oh my God, that's amazing. If you watch his lowlights, you wonder how this person is actually starting NFL games. It boggles the mind. And so it makes sense for a lot of people to grasp onto those highlights. You want him to be good. You've seen him do awesome things. I liken it to a guy who, as a hitter in baseball, strikes out all the time. but every once in a while he hits 500-foot home runs.
Pedro Serrano.
Thank you. And so you want to keep him in the lineup because you want him to hit 500-foot home runs all the time because he has the potential to do it. But 90% of the time, he's going to strike out. Is it worth
that? You don't want to F with Joe Boo.
No, you don't. But is it worth that 10% of the time where he's going to hit a dinger? Probably not. It's not going to garner a lot of runs. It's not going to make you any better as a team. That's Drew Lock. Drew Lock is a home run hitter that strikes out every other time he's at bat. And it doesn't work in the NFL. You can't get away with it if you're only hitting one home run in every 10 at bats, but your 10 is probably not enough. Let's call it 20. Then you're still batting 100 and you're striking out every time. That's Drew Lock. He's not Josh Allen. Josh Allen was a top pick in the NFL draft. He was a first round pick. He was a guy who was projected to go in the top one or two or three picks. He happened to fall a little bit because of the way the draft went. Buffalo
traded up.
Buffalo traded up and said, we want that guy. The Broncos took two players before they drafted Drew Lock. Two, not one. They didn't just take Noah Fant. They got Noah Fant and Dalton Risner, and then they took Drew Lock. So let's stop trying to make Drew Lock something he isn't. Drew Lock can hold a clipboard in the NFL. Fantastic. I love it. I would love to hold a clipboard in the NFL. That's one of my top two jobs. That's right. I have two dream jobs in my life. It's clipboard holder in the NFL and bullpen catcher in Major League Baseball. Those are the two best jobs in sports. If you're not going to be any good, because if you're good, then it's something else. So if you have the opportunity right now to go pick a top 10 quarterback with the potential to be a QB OTF, quarterback of the future, the face of the franchise, and you choose not to do it because you think Drew Lock can turn it around, you need to turn around and turn in your papers and resign, because that's a terrible move. So it would be awful. It will ruin my night on Thursday. I guarantee it.
Mine too.
If I'm missing the opening night of softball so I can watch the Broncos screw up this draft. That's why it has to be a quarterback. If it's Justin Fields, I will be the happiest person in the world. If it's Trey Lance, I will be just as happy. If it's Trevor Lawrence, I'll wonder what happened. Did we end up in the upside down? Because we know that's not happening. If it's anybody else, if it's Mac Jones, I think I might also be okay. I might be okay with Mac Jones.
Don't have to worry about Mac Jones. He's going number three to the 49ers.
Apparently he's going number three to the 49ers. So it's got to be a quarterback. It's got to be a quarterback. And I was going to ask you, I wrote this down. I said, I have my little book. I always do our little rundown. Everybody knows this scenario without top quarterback that could work.
It wouldn't.
The answer is
not in my opinion.
No,
because they did it wrong. You got everything that you needed in free agency on defense. Now get your quarterback so that you can compete and win games.
I think the question has to be, which of these players, when you look at these players that we could potentially draft, if I'm George Payton and I say, all right, here's a list of all the players that could go in the top 10 that are valuable enough to be a top 10 pick. The Broncos have a top 10 pick. Which of these players makes the Denver Broncos a playoff contender immediately? It's not a tackle. It's not a linebacker. It's not a cornerback. It's not a safety. It's not a running back, because it never is.
I'm sure the Cowboys taking Ezekiel Elliott.
That's true. But Ezekiel Elliott, it might be a different story.
But how has that panned out?
How's Saquon Barkley doing for the Giants? They still had to draft a quarterback. Not that they got the right one, I have no idea, but they still went and got their quarterback. Oh, it's quarterback. Quarterback is the only position that this team needs. You said it. You said it perfectly. It's all they need. And if it's all they need, then what are you doing?
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.